The Sunday Grill with Orla Rapple on Beat 102-103.
Talk about a poll that came out this week that reported that large numbers of young people are considering emigrating to escape the cost of living pressures in Ireland. The poll was commissioned by the National Youth Council of Ireland, and it found that rent and accommodation costs are the single greatest financial challenge for adults under the age of 25. It also found that 3 in 5 young people are considering emigration, with almost 1 in 3 strongly considering leaving Ireland to seek a better quality of life abroad. Well, one person that has lived abroad for a number of years is Amy Sweeney. She is from County Tipperary originally, but she is enjoying life not in Australia, not in Canada. Amy's in Egypt and she joins me this morning. You're very welcome.
Hi, Orla. Thank you for having me.
It's great to talk to you. Now, you left Ireland when you were in your early 20s. You've been to many places. Tell us, was it kind of the cost of living? Did you want to do a bit of travelling? What motivated you to start living abroad?
I suppose the main reasons were probably the same as what you hear from everybody. So, you know, the cost of living, the housing crisis, and honestly, it's just difficult as a young person to set yourself up independently. So this was probably the driving factor. But honestly, the bigger reason for me was that I wanted to see the world. From when I started university, I was always super eager, like, you know, there has to be more out there than this. And then, I guess when you finish university and you realize you're in the big bad world, those other factors of, you know, the cost of living and all of those things definitely don't encourage you to stay, put it that way.
Did you do summers away when you were in university and stuff like that? Did you do a J1 or...?
No, never anything long term. I mean, I would have always traveled with my family and everything. I know, but from university, I always had that kind of travel bug of, you know, whenever I could get out, I wanted to get out.
So,
always had a little bit of a travel bug.
And there's always, I think, without sounding like very templatey about it, but we do choose as Irish people the Australias and the Canadas, and they're amazing experiences. You chose a different route.
Yes. Honestly, I wanted anything but the Australia and the Canada.
And why was that?
Because I suppose, like, as I said, my reasons for leaving were different. It wasn't just the housing crisis and the economics and everything. It was I wanted something different. And honestly, even to this day, if somebody told me you can have everything for free in Australia and Canada, I wouldn't go, because for me, it's just Ireland away from Ireland.
Okay, that's fair enough.
And I really wanted the experience of a whole new culture, all new people. And even when I did leave, people would always say, like, oh, I know an Irish person here and there. I'm like, I didn't leave to stay around the people. You know, I want to explore new things. So for me, it was actually very intentional to avoid those places.
Okay, so what was your first stop then?
So immediately when I finished university, I actually went to Abu Dhabi.
Lovely.
So I'm a primary school teacher. So I suppose that was kind of all the craze at the time, Dubai for teaching. But it was also actually, that's also a hotspot for Irish teachers, full of Irish people. So definitely weren't getting the culture there.
Okay. So you moved on quickly, did you?
Yeah, I really, it wasn't for me at all, actually, which is funny now living in Egypt, very similar. But at the time I was like quite young, I went alone, it was a big culture shock. So when I finished my master's, I actually moved to Poland, to Krakow in Poland. So that was my first big long-term move. So I stayed there for 4 years.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, up until last year.
Okay, so you've moved, and why did you move then to Egypt?
Actually, it was never really an intentional move. So I loved Poland. Honestly, Poland was never like I'd never went with the intention of, you know, I'm leaving Ireland, never coming back. It was like, OK, let's see what's out there. And I think a lot of young Irish people will probably agree with me. When you get out and you see there's more to Ireland, it's very difficult to come back to that. Don't get me wrong. I love Ireland. I'm very proud to be Irish and, you know, I will always sing it from the rooftops. I'm definitely not one of these people who say, you know, I never want to go back. It's horrible, not at all. But it's definitely not for me. And I can never see myself living there again, honestly.
Okay.
So, yeah, although I loved Poland, like I was working there, everything was great. But it's very harsh winters. So it started off as, okay, you know what? I'm going to leave for winter. I had been to Egypt already and I loved it. So I thought, okay, I'm just going to go for maybe 2 months, figure it out, see what happens. And yeah, that was last October. So coming up to a year now and
you
I
never
haven't
left. Okay.
No.
And where are you in Egypt?
Cairo.
Okay. And what is that like as a city?
Madness. It's the only way I can describe it. But you know, that's all part of the fun. It's there's never a dull day. Very, very different to Ireland on every level.
Okay. And like, how do you get by with the language and all that?
I mean, it's a very touristic place, depending where you are. It's very diverse also. Like, there's very, very Egyptian places, and then there's also very touristic places.
Mm-hmm.
I do speak a little bit of Arabic, so I can get by. Okay. But only since living here, not before.
Okay.
But the biggest shock, I guess, actually was the weather, because, you know, we're coming to the end of summer now and we're like, you know, up to 40 degrees every day.
Wow. Wow.
So a big, big shock.
And did you stay there for the summer or did you leave?
Yeah. No,
I stayed there. Okay. Wow.
Yeah. It's funny how you adapt, actually.
Oh, I can imagine, but there's no way I could do 40 degrees.
Yeah. I said the same. When I moved in winter, I said, you know, I'll definitely be gone by summer because I won't survive the heat. But I did somehow.
Okay. Like your Instagram, it looks so beautiful and so different, I think, to the way I thought that Egypt would look. I know you're someone who wants to experience life abroad and like full term life abroad. Mm-hmm. Is that hard for your family to hear or?
I think initially, yes. Mm. Poland was maybe a little bit easier to accept because I guess it's still Europe and it was very easy for them to visit a lot.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, they got to the point that my parents could come, you know, on their own individually, and they knew their way around Poland very well.
Uh-huh.
And they were really content that I was safe there because they knew the city. But, you know, I kind of gave them another shock just as they got settled with that and said, oh, I'm, you know, going to Africa. So that was definitely a shock at the beginning. And I suppose every parent naturally is going to be worried. But I suppose this part of the world, you know, is in the news for all of the wrong reasons in the last 2 years. So mm-hmm. this was definitely scary for them to say that, you know, I was coming so close to where all of the war
of
is happening.
Yeah.
So yes, definitely keeping them on the edge.
Okay. And have they been over to you?
No, not yet.
Not yet.
Still trying to work on that.
Okay. And are there things that you miss from home? Are there?
There are, of course. Funny the things I would miss. I suppose things that I never really appreciated when I was there, honestly. Obviously, family being the big one. It never gets easier. No matter how many times I go home and come back, it's always horrible, you know, being back at Dublin Airport.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the same with Poland. I think it's, you know, anybody who lives abroad will say the same. So definitely family is a big one. Greenery, funny, you know, especially now I live in the middle of a desert. So I really do miss green. It's funny when you come back home from the airplane, even it's like, oh my God, I'm so happy to see grass again. And also people, like, I don't think I ever realized how friendly Irish people were.
Okay.
Until you leave, especially in Poland, you know, it's very, very different.
Okay. Interesting. And are you teaching in Egypt now?
No, I'm actually a nutrition coach. So that was, I guess, another push for me to leave. I work online. So I kind of had the freedom to be, still do have the freedom to be wherever I want, whenever I want. And also, I guess a big part of it is I'm Muslim. So that was a big driving factor also to be living in a Muslim country, which again is a deterrent from ever moving back to Ireland.
Okay. And did you grow up Muslim?
No, a revert actually. So all my family are, Christian.
Yeah.
I was raised Christian, everything. So no, the only, you know, no one else in my family is Muslim.
Okay.
So,
and did you convert to the religion when you got to Egypt, or is it something you've always been interested in?
I wouldn't say always been interested in. I think honestly, growing up in Ireland, we're very sheltered to it all.
Uh-huh.
I definitely wasn't aware of, you know, a lot of things until I left Ireland. And then, yeah, I guess I spent a lot of time traveling to Arab countries, became very involved with, you know, very interested in the religion. Then I was like hugely involved in the whole Palestinian situation.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, all of that, you know, brought me towards Islam. And yeah, I officially reverted.
Wow.
So that was definitely a big factor to draw me to living in an Islamic country.
And how long have you been Muslim?
Since last year, so coming up to a year now.
Okay, so you have done Ramadan. How was that?
Yes. it was challenging, I won't lie.
Wow.
But that was another big reason why I came back here, actually. You know, I couldn't imagine doing this back home, honestly, especially not the first one.
Wow, amazing. Yeah. What a phenomenal few years you've had. And it's taken, yeah, it's, I'd say, a lot of dedication and grit from you to do that as well.
Yeah, a lot of growth.
Mm. Yeah.
But no, I think it's important, actually. You know, and again, it's not for me, you know, if there's any young Irish people listening who think like, oh, you know, I want to get out of the country because it's awful. It's not.
No, it's
but
not.
Even if there's people who also think, you know, they love it and they don't want to get out, I really encourage people to get out even temporarily.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
You know,
and
it's
see
a
the
big,
world.
A big world out there with a lot to be discovered.
Yes. And you seem to be doing it in your very own way. And that is incredibly impressive. Thanks so much for talking to me. I thought you were going to talk about missing Irish cups of tea, and yet here we are.
I still have the Irish tea here in Egypt.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that. If you want to follow Amy, she has some lovely advice on her Instagram about nutrition and a great ginger shot recipe as well that I know that our Jade from Beat News has been following as well. In fact, I had a ginger shot this morning, thanks to Jade. You are It's Amy Sweeney on Instagram, and you have some lovely content up there from Egypt as well. Amy, thank you for that really interesting chat, and I hope to talk to you again soon.
Thank you so much.
The Sunday Grill with Orla Rapple on Beat 102-103.
Five Counties, One Station, you are listening to Beat. Okay, next week, we seem to follow a template of life, because September always means rain to me and Culture Night. Neither of those things have any similarities, because Culture Night is always just this lovely event where you get out to see some fabulous culture things that are happening in your town and beyond. Audrin Johnson from Beat News, well, Beat Sport, is, which do you want to be?
I'll take both at this stage.
Okay, good stuff. Beat News and Sport is here to fill us in on some of the things that he's looking forward to. But you know what Culture Night is. It's a national movement celebrating all that makes up the richness and diversity of culture in Ireland today. It happens this coming Friday, September the 19th. There is so much going on in the southeast. Audrin has had a look at some of the things he's really looking forward to. I have a few bits as well, but Audrin, you can take it away. What county are you starting on?
I would like to start with Waterford, and this is probably an easy answer and probably one that a lot of people will be somewhat familiar with, but
okay,
it's the Waterford Wolds. Everyone obviously knows the massive draw and appeal that they have year in, year out, but I've never actually done one of the walking tours, which I think would be a great way of experiencing the city. They are doing their night walking tours during Culture Night, and on top of that as well, you can kind of go around, see all the murals that were created specifically for the festival in 2025, which I think is, you know, the ones that people want to see.
Yeah, lovely. And an explainer on them as well, which is always great.
Yeah, no, I think when you walk around with someone who knows the lay of the land and knows the people behind them, it always makes it that bit more enticing rather than just kind of going around looking at them and being like, that's nice, and then
that
moving
lovely?
On. Yeah.
That's a lovely person there. Hey, can I give you a Waterford one that I'm looking forward to, but possibly wouldn't do, okay?
Okay.
You'll understand why in a minute. So it's the bell ringing tour at Christ Church Cathedral, which I think sounds amazing. Do you get to ring the bells or do you watch? I don't know. I'd be happy doing both. It's at Christ Church Cathedral in Waterford City. You get a sneak peek into the world of bell ringing and the history of the church, but it is a tight space. And I'm not good at tight spaces. So I might get up there, but I might not get back down again. So do bear that in mind if you're someone who gets a little bit claustrophobic. But it's Christ Church Cathedral at 6 o'clock until 8 o'clock. And your time's who you're one for the Waterford Walls walk?
6 to 8 as well. So you're going to have to fight it out for which one you want.
I'm sure you can go one to the other. But the bell
can.
Ringing.
Maybe the bell ringing will be on the way of the walking tour.
Yes, there you go. Where are we going next?
Tipperary, I think.
Okay, lovely stuff. What's going on there?
It's a nice one. It's down Clonmel. So there's an exhibition launch and a live performance of The Landscape Swallows Our Histories, which is a sort of a duo show by Amanda Rice and Joe Pester.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of a, it's a weird mix of a lot of artistic forms. So you've got this collaborative 8mm film work alongside a radio play, magical body, and then a performance during the night.
Oh, lovely.
So it's kind of, the background of it is that it takes a lot of geotech, human and non-human traces left behind in this Neolithic burial site in Northern Ireland.
Okay.
And it's kind of capturing all of that into all of the forms that I've mentioned. And I don't know, it just stuck out to me as something in particular that maybe something you wouldn't expect to be down in Clonmel on a Friday evening. And I think if you went out with, you know, you might be a fan of one medium or another. And I think meshing them all together kind of gives something for everyone.
Yeah. A little bit of commitment there time-wise, though. It's not a pop in and pop out.
Yeah, no, definitely not. I actually don't have a date. Oh, I do. Sorry. 6 to 8 is okay. When it's on.
Good stuff.
So it's a long enough one. But yeah, you'll get something out of it.
Yeah, it sounds great. Also, a little bit further up in Thurles, the Arts Council at Jigsaw are gifting free books to young people as part of the Culture Night festivities, and they're proud to announce the return of Read More, and it's an annual book gifting initiative that celebrates Irish literature and promotes well-being through the joy of reading. So you will find that in Jigsaw on Thurles, and Jigsaw is the National Centre for Youth Mental Health, and they've given away over 2,500 books by 30 Irish and Irish based authors to gift them to young people across Ireland. So that is a good one as well. Will we head to my home county of Wexford? I hope you're including Gorey in yours.
Oh, I'm not this time, unfortunately. Okay, but there is loads on in Wexford.
So
it was actually difficult to pick which I wanted, and I was between a few ones, but I thought this kind of stood out to me because, you know, obviously you have Brian on to review a movie each week. I kind of like going to the cinema. Brian and I would go sometimes. And then when I saw this, I was like, oh, this would be great to go down. I actually genuinely might go down myself and see it. Actually, well, to be fair, all the stuff on the list, I would genuinely go down and see it. But this in particular caught my eye. It's a Screen Wexford showcase. So they have a load of short films that they had entries coming up until the 5th of September. And they're kind of showing them all off between 8 and 10. And
Brilliant.
That's in St. Michael's Theatre, Centre of Arts in New Ross.
Okay, good stuff.
So not quite gory, but, you know, we'll take it. New Ross, and for those in Waterford, actually, very close by as well if you wanted to kind of pop over to that. So
yeah, exactly.
The showcase of County Wexford short films. So it's a mix of drama, documentaries and artistic films either created by Wexford filmmakers or filmed in Wexford.
Wow. All right. That's a really good one. What time is that one on at?
That's from 8 to 10.
From 8 o'clock till 10 o'clock at St. Michael's Theatre in New Ross. In Enniscorthy, the Brazilian community invite you to celebrate Culture Night with live music and Brazilian food, so you know where I'll be. It's a perfect stop on your Culture Night trail, and that's at Meet Brazil. If you know Enniscorthy, you'll know where that is. It's on Castle Hill in Enniscorthy, and that sounds like a great one.
The grief I got for not getting gory, and you didn't even make it yourself.
I'll find some gory before the day ends. Where are we going now, Odrin?
Let's go to Kilkenny.
Okay.
Specifically for me, Thomastown. The Enchanted Garden is on there. Now, the Quay car park probably doesn't sound like the location you'd want to be going for a culture night, but this is just upstairs from the Quay car park. But I promise you, by all accounts, it looks like it's going to be great. So the Upper Paddock Biodiversity Garden is set up there, and it's kind of, so there's a showcase going on from 7 to 10:30. Kind of go up, you can kind of see this whimsical enchanted area of the world that is, again, located in a really random spot of just being upstairs from a car park, which you would imagine to be completely brutalist and kind of standing out as, you know, complete man-made structure, and then to have this beautiful sort of biodiversity garden on top of it.
Gorgeous.
Kind of strikes me as this lovely little sort of thing to go up to. So you can go out, you can tour the area, look at all the lovely plants, but on top of that as well, you can take part in a lantern making workshop which incorporates plants and flowers from the actual garden itself, and you can pick to either bring it home or leave it in the garden to kind of display alongside everything else, which I think is a really nice touch. I think I'd like to leave it there and kind of have it be a mark of your time there as well.
Like, isn't that amazing? The biggest obstacle to Culture Night, I think, is ourselves, because it's September, it's a Friday night, you're sitting in and you have to convince yourself to go out, but there's so much free stuff that you can see and really different stuff like that as well. This is a cute one in Kilkenny City. It's Beats and Board Games, and it's at the Cookie Co-op in Kilkenny City from 7 until 9 o'clock, and they have herbal teas, kombucha, lots of things going on, and some beats and some board games there as well. So something a little bit quirky too. And finally, County Carlow, what have you got for me?
So I was looking, and this one immediately stood out to me. It's Your Wandering Soundtrack, Le Hugsy. Right, so I was really into this idea because I'm someone that obviously grew up during the time where I would have a long commute to school. So I'd always be listening to music with my headphones.
Yeah.
Would be walking maybe 10, 15 minutes down the road to the school. So on top
That's
of that as well.
That's your long commute, 10 or 15 minutes?
Well, no, that was on top of my 40 minute train commute.
Oh, okay.
So I'd be walking then down and I'd always have my headphones on. I'd be listening to music that specifically I feel like would be built for me for walking from one place to another that I wouldn't necessarily listen to if I was just on my own. But so the idea of this this sort of wandering soundtrack is it's meant to sort of accompany it's a band obviously playing eclectic music, street performance, and it's for traversing from venue to venue. So if you kind of, you pop out onto Tullow Street in Carlow, you'll be moving to your next destination, that sort of soundtrack will follow you around. So it's a mix of drums, folk and blues. So I love that idea of, like, as soon as you're out of one thing, it kind of connects all the cultural events together with this sort of wandering soundtrack. So
lovely
that
stuff.
Was a huge thing I was really interested in. But it's only on from six to half seven. So if you're looking to get to it, I'd say be there pretty early just to hear a bit of it as you're moving from venue to venue.
Wow, that sounds amazing. Lots of music in Carlo because they have a singing stroll as well from half four with Carlo Voices, and it starts in Carlo Town Park mm-hmm. as well. Now, all of this is available on culturenight.ie. You just need to click on your county and they'll give you all the details of it. As I said, our biggest obstacle is ourselves because the night draws in and I'm like, I'm not leaving this. But I want to hear that you were somewhere next week and I'm talking to you again, okay?
Yeah, fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed, Adrian, you make it all the way to, what's the furthest point? Thurles in County Tipperary.
Yeah.
Thanks a million.
The Sunday Grill with Orla Rapple on Beat 102-103.
You're listening to The Sunday Grill here on Beat. I hope you're doing well this morning. Let's talk to my guest because he has a really interesting story to tell us about. He spent years raising thousands of euro for Enable Ireland and is part of their Life with No Limits campaign this month. His name is Eamon Clare. He's from Kilkenny and he's also known as DJ Amos. If you're from the Kilkenny area, you probably know that name. And he's among a group of people to feature in Enable Ireland's film as part of their Life with No Limits movement. Every September, they share personal stories of success. And this year, Eamon is one of those stories. And you're very welcome to the Sunday Grill, Eamon. Will I call you Eamon or DJ Amos?
No, sure. Call me Amos. Everybody call me Amos.
Everybody calls you Amos, do they?
I was actually christened Amos. Amos, yeah.
Okay, good stuff. You're from Kilkenny City, is that right?
Born and raised.
And you have been DJing for decades at this stage, but did you finish up, am I right in saying you've kind of retired from the DJing life?
Oh, unfortunately, I had to early this year, 2025, yeah.
Why was that, Amos?
Well, to be honest, I just had to concentrate on my health. My health kind of took over, you know, so I just finished my last DJ set was actually the 28th of June in Kilkenny, yeah.
You've DJed you've had a closing set for Calvin Harris. Like, tell people a little bit about what you've done DJ-wise down through the years, because it's quite impressive.
Yeah. I still can't believe I actually played alongside Calvin Harris. And like some people still can't believe that actually a disabled person has actually played with Calvin Harris, you know. And I'm like, okay, here's a photograph to prove it, you know. So,
when did you start DJing and why?
I'd say I started DJing, well, I'd say I got my first decks when I was about 16. I was in my bedroom pretending to be a DJ. And I'm like, yeah, this could actually work for me, because actually the way my hands are, I actually cannot play physically a guitar or play drums or anything like that. So I said, okay, I can actually press buttons and mix a few tracks together, you know. And lo and behold, that actually happened. That worked. So I stuck to that, and when I finished school, I went on to college and studied music and technology in Waterford there for a year. And then I stayed on that, got a degree of music and technology out of that. And then I had a residency in Kilkenny, played around Kilkenny for a few years, did parties, corporate events, and then made it really good for me, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's amazing. And all along, you've been raising funds for Enable Ireland. Why Enable Ireland?
I was mainly aiming for Enable Ireland. Maybe because I was grow up there. I grew up there, you know. It's my first school there, you know, for people with disabilities. Because after that, I went on the mainstream. I went to Enable Ireland for 18 years. 16 to 18, it was my outpatients. So they taught me a lot. Like outpatients, speech and therapy, physiotherapy. I can't thank them enough, like, you know.
And you're in their video this month. You're going to be part of the video where you share personal stories of your success. So what do we see you doing in the video, Eamon?
In the video, it's just a video of myself mixing a few tracks together, meeting a few celebrities. Like, sorry, I had to put that in.
Oh, so you might as well. Who are the celebrities that you met?
I met Ricky Hatton, the boxer.
Wow.
Danny O'Reilly from the Coronas.
Nice one.
Some DJs I played alongside, like John Gibbons from Carlo.
So loads of people. And there's an Eamon Senior in your life, isn't there? Your dad. He's been a big influence on you, hasn't he?
My dad, yeah. That's actually how I became into music at first. Because I went to some of my dad's fundraiser. Was the Rockfall Music Festival.
Okay.
That was held every bank holiday in October. Then he'd have a lot of local bands.
Ah, okay.
That would play throughout the whole weekend. And they play for free. And people come to watch them and raise lots of money.
Brilliant stuff. We're going to talk to Matt from Enable Ireland in a few minutes' time about this campaign and why they do it every year. But in the meantime, yeah. Eamon or Amos, thanks a million for talking to me this morning. Best of luck with your health. I hope even though you've retired from doing gigs and everything, are you still getting to DJ a little bit at home even?
I do, yeah.
Like, brilliant.
I got a studio in the house so I can mess around in the studio. And
lovely. And who knows, maybe like Oasis, you'll have a big comeback at some stage.
You never know.
You never know. That is DJ Amos, a.k.a. Eamon Clear. Thanks a million for joining me on the Sunday Grill this morning.
All right, Orla, no bother.
So Matt Jenkins is from Enable Ireland and he joins me as well to tell us a little bit about this Life With No Limits movement, which happens every September with Enable Ireland. You're very welcome, Matt.
Thank you, Willie. Thanks for having me on.
Eamon was very interesting there, or DJ Amos, and he has raised thousands for Enable Ireland. It really goes to show what a massive impact Enable Ireland has had on his life.
Absolutely, and he's had a great impact on our services as well through the support and the funds he's raised. Himself and his father, Eamon Senior, have been great advocates and supporters of Enable Ireland.
You might describe a little bit about Enable Ireland before we talk about the September campaign. What do you do? What is your ethos?
Sure. So Enable Ireland provides vital disability services to 13,000 children and adults with physical, sensory or intellectual disabilities and autism across the whole of Ireland. In the southeast, we provide children's services in Kilkenny, as well as respite from Kilcar House in Carlow, and that provides respite for both children and families within
the Sunday Grill with Orla Rappel on Beat 102-103.
Movement, which happens every September. What do you set out to do with that?
Yeah, that's right. So every September, we look to share personal stories of success through this campaign. So the idea of the campaign is to provide a platform for children and adults with disabilities to share their life experiences. So really, they're stories that illustrate the many life experiences of people with disabilities. And we're aiming to foster inclusion and challenge stigma around disability.
Eamon is one of those people who's involved with the campaign this week, this year.
Exactly.
So we're seeing a little bit of his life in County Kilkenny. Is that right?
That's right, yeah. So Eamon, as well as fundraising for our services for the last 10 years or so, when he was young, he attended children's services in Kilkenny.
Okay, good stuff. How do people get to see this video?
Sure, just search for Enable Ireland on Instagram, Facebook or LinkedIn.
Great, and you can read about Eamon's story as well and his full story on enableireland.ie, but you can read lots of stories there as well if you just look for the link that has no limits on enableireland.ie's website. And then your socials as well, if people want to check out the video this month.
That's right, yeah. So just on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn and X, just type in Enable Ireland and you should be able to find us.
Good stuff, Matt. Thanks a million. Congratulations on this month's campaign that happens every year in September. It is Life with No Limits. And thanks a million to Eamon Clear from Kilkenny as well, aka DJ Amos. Have a good Sunday.
The Sunday Grill with Orla Rapple on Beat 102-103.
It's the Sunday Grill. You are listening to Beat, and panto rehearsals are underway at the SETU Arena in Waterford. Preparations for Jack and the Beanstalk, The Tale of Magic Beans, are in full swing with an all-star cast, including my next two guests. They are Richie Hayes and Danny O'Carroll, and they join me in studio this morning. You're very welcome.
Good morning.
Good to see you. There you go. You've become each other at this stage. You spend so much time together. Richie, it's good to see you in studio again.
And you too. Thanks for having us.
We have spoken about many things down through the years, usually involving musical theatre.
Yeah.
And you're very used to panto at this stage.
25 years professionally this year, and I suppose if I put in my days of my local panto stuff as well, which is about 33 years of pantomime. Oh.
So you're used to talking about panto in September?
Yes, yeah. Usually my life is continuous pantomime, so yeah, I'm what I use. It's always pantomime at some stage in the week.
And what about you, Danny?
This is my first ever pantomime, and okay, Richie is going to hold my hand throughout the whole and has me in playing the dame.
Wow. So what were you doing this time last year? Because you were doing Dancing with the Stars.
I was doing Dancing with the Stars, yeah.
Yeah, but so that would have started after Christmas.
It did. I was on tour. Where was I? Yeah, I was on tour last Christmas, and then I was coming back doing bits and bobs with Dancing with the Stars.
Okay.
And then went on to Dancing with the Stars, which I thought would only be a month. I ended up being 3 months.
Wow. And of course, at Mrs. Brown's Boys, you would have been well used to doing Christmas specials. When would you even do those?
Well, we go October. We film some. At the end of the month, I'm over to Glasgow to film the next two Christmas specials. And then we have Paddy, who plays Dermot in the show. Paddy wrote another show called Shedites.
Okay.
So we start filming that for BBC One.
Okay.
And it's going to be broadcast over Christmas as well. So, and then I come back home and I'm in Waterford for pantomime.
Woohoo!
So it's
I'm
all
a very
go, go,
secret
go.
Mrs. Brown's Boys fan.
Are you?
Oh yeah, yeah.
I knew you were. You're not very good to keep secrets.
That's why she looks so happy when you walked in the door today.
I have so many scenes that I just laugh out loud.
I love it. When I walked in the door, you just said to me, "Are you sick?" And I was like, "Make me so paralyzed." Like, what the hell? Wrong with
me? We're friends now. You see,
I have to explain. I was in pure character makeup about an hour ago, and I look a bit rough now because I took it off.
You did.
And Orla liked to point that out. So thanks, Orla.
Well, you did the number one thing that we do not do when it comes to taking off makeup. You used baby wipes.
Yeah, well, I'm a man.
Yeah.
I'm a man.
So he's still coming to terms with wearing a dress. He's not getting a lot of advice off his dad, but you know.
I'm not getting a lot of dresses off me, dad.
Dress and a full on makeup.
Yeah, I've never done panto, never put a dress on before, and now I'm doing it all.
And who are you in the panto?
I'm playing Mother Dame Hen.
Mother Hen
or something.
Henrietta for long. Instead
stuff.
Of short.
And who are you, Richie?
I am playing the character of Muckles, which is the kind of anchorman of the show. Like, it's the buttons of the, you know, I play the same style part each year.
So he got the comedy role.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I don't know why I'm here.
You're the straight man.
Why am I here?
It's based around Jack and the Beanstalk.
It's the classic tale of Jack and the Beanstalk. I will say, I've been associate producer with the Limerick Panto for many years up to now. So I put a little kind of modern times to it. You know what I mean? So slight little modern day things going on with AI and bits and pieces like that. So we have a little twist to the original fairy tale story. But yeah, all the core elements are still there.
And I'm sure when you're doing the Limerick panto, there's a lot of local in-jokes, and this is very much a nationwide panto. You want people to travel from everywhere to the SETU arena. So how do you make it that less? You know, when I go to the Gory panto, there's lots of jokes that I understand about local councillors and potholed roads and stuff like that.
Exactly. And look, a pantomime is such a tradition in Ireland. Mm. Huge. And it runs with every family. It's their thing they do at Christmas. And I think with a lot of places, you have that local community panto, you know, or the amateur society that does it. And it's fantastic, and long may it last, because I started there. And that's where you get that local in gags, you know, about Mary walking down the street, look the head on her in the corner, this kind of thing. Whereas, you know, and even in the UCH panto that I've done the last 13 years in, we would have been a kind of a you know, multiple counties coming to us. So this will be that, you know, we're
Don't worry, Orla. I'll find out a pothole in Waterford somewhere.
Yeah, just somewhere. Or every town
or
in the
Wexford
southeast.
Or Tipperary, or any of them.
Exactly. I'll figure it all out and I'll give it socks on that stage.
Yeah.
But it is, we are really kind of placing ourselves as the southeast professional panto because I know there's been one or two jumped in here and there, but there is no solid professional panto and that, you know, people are going to, I think, travel from over all over because they're...
Donegal.
They will.
Yeah. That's so, a long way to come as well, isn't it?
But I think, look, the mix of panto for everyone is all of the viral stuff that happens during the year. I have a notebook now that's just, oh yeah, write that down, write this down. So, yeah.
Is it fun? Do you enjoy it? You're doing it decades now.
I'm doing
it
so long and my son is... Taylor's 13. He was born the year I started in Limerick after 12 years in the Gaiety. So there's kind of, as I say to most people, I'm like an encyclopedia. And I think this year's panto and the ones that will come after it are a greatest hits of panto.
Yeah,
you know,
it's lovely to come home as well.
It's fantastic. Like, you know, and to be able to give all of the, we have so many exports in the southeast. You know, I know we're in Waterford here at the moment, but like even from there's so many people have to pack up their bags in November and head to the bigger cities to do these big pantos. And we have people coming back from England and London-based people and that are all from Waterford and the South East. So
and of course, Wexford's Sharon Clancy in there as well.
We have the great Sharon Clancy,
Excellent to see.
No stranger to anyone in Wexford or further afield.
Exactly.
So
and Danny, how are you feeling about it all? Are you loving it so far? Oh yeah, come on. Without cursing.
I'm crapping myself.
Oh, are you?
I am.
What's that about?
I'm nervous. I don't know. I've never... I don't know. I don't know what to expect. I met the cast. They're all fantastic. They're all lovely. So I feel like I'm going to get on really, really well with them. But playing the Dame is, it's a big role to take on. And I just hope I can pull it off. Do you know what? I am going to pull it off. But I just, the production's so good. I want to be good enough for the production. So that's what I'm worried about more.
I remember when I first was cast in the show. And because I'm directing it and producing it all, and I'm like the minder, the theme tune, singing and writing the theme tune. But me and Danny, well, I met with Danny and all the gang of Mrs. Brown's back in 2017 when I did the show with him. So we've always stayed in touch and our time in Florida together as well. Can't get rid of him. But I just went, you know what? I'm going to give Danny a shout. And I rang him one day and I said, be interested. And he went, do you know what? Yeah. He said, I've always been asked to do it. He said, but I'll do it for you and because it's you, because you'll mind me. So I will mind you. I don't know.
Is this your out of your comfort zone year? You've done...
Yeah, well, I've never done...
Dance with Stars?
I've done that. Yeah, Dance with Stars was very out of my...
Yeah.
that was scary. Very scary.
And no panto.
And no panto. But like, this is putting on a dress and like, I don't know. My dad's very famous for putting on a dress. So people are going to be coming in with high expectations, I think. So we'll see. I don't know. We'll see.
Well, he said to me at one stage, will I just play a Buster? And I went, no.
Please, Richard, please let me play Buster.
But I was telling him today, we have a few little ideas, so, you know, will Buster
make it? Don't be saying anything.
Oh, well, look, it launched during the week, so best of luck with it. I'm really looking forward to seeing Jack and the Beanstalk. It's the giant pantomime spectacular. It's the 18th to the 30th of December 2025 in SETU Arena in Waterford. You can book online. I presume you can book now.
Pantoland.net, yeah.
Good stuff.
Get your tickets now.
It is all there. There you are. There's the Dame's voice.
I can't help it. Look, it's cool.
It's just happening, folks.
It's meant to
be. Happening.
Yeah. Richie Hayes, Danny O'Carroll, thanks a million for joining me this morning.
The Sunday Grill with Orla Rappel on Beat 102-103.
It's a Sunday morning. You are listening to the Sunday Grill here on Beat. Brian's over there.
Sunday morning.
Oh, he sings as well as, well, I don't know what else he does, but he sings. And it's movie time, and I have a strong and negative view on movie remakes. But this one looks like it might be good crack.
Is this a remake?
Yeah.
Didn't know.
Yeah. It's got a stellar cast. It's called The Roses. It's a remake of the 1989 iconic movie The War of the Roses. And that starred, it was directed by Danny DeVito, and it starred Michael Douglas and Kathleen Turner. This time round, it stars Benedict Cumberbatch and Olivia Colman as a successful couple whose seemingly pitch-perfect marriage begins falling apart. Andy Samberg from I'm on a Boat.
Lonely Island.
And SNL. And
Pop Star Never Stop, Never Stopping.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Oh yeah, Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
No, that's not Brooklyn Nine-Nine. What is it?
Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Oh, it is Brooklyn Nine-Nine. That's where I love him from. Alice and Janney, who you'll know from SNL as well. You'll recognise lots of faces in this.
Yeah.
Lots of stars. Let's have a listen. And then Brian will tell us what he thought.
Everybody seems to think
we hate each other. I suppose sometimes I do hate you. Ugh, sporadic hatred.
It's infused with tarragon and adds a bit of bitterness.
Ivy likes to leave a little bit of herself in everything she does.
I love this fun banter you guys do.
Sometimes Ivy's mad at me and I can't even tell. You
blow up through. We are done.
I'm saying that we're done.
I just want the house. I built it.
Oh, you're not having the house. Ra-da-da-da-da.
We want everything. And he walks out of here with his face still attached. Right, Bruno?
Wow.
You're a bottomless pit of need. You're just making me madder.
And that's what it sounds like. An awful lot of things being thrown around and people fighting for a good hour and a half, perhaps longer.
No.
Review over.
It's actually not that. That would be incorrect.
Oh.
That's how I thought it would be from the trailer.
Okay.
And I fear we've been the victim of a deceptive trailer.
Okay.
Because...
As if that's never happened before.
Because this whole thing of the build-up from the fighting and the thing going back and forth is like the last half an hour.
Oh, okay.
Up until then, it's just like bubbling tension.
How marriages fall apart.
Yeah, and it's like... But it's like... It's so petty. It's so like, oh my God, just shut up. But like, you can feel like if you're living in this situation, yeah, this will annoy you. But because we go through time so quickly, it doesn't annoy you enough. Like, honestly, the characters just annoy you more than the situation
uh-huh.
does.
Uh-huh.
And it's Benedict Cumberbatch and Olivia Colman.
Okay. Fantastic setting, might I say. San Francisco in California. Yeah. So it looks great.
Yeah.
And they have interesting jobs.
Yeah. So he's an architect and she's a chef.
Right.
And basically they both quit their job in England at the same time and moved to America together.
So, to be together.
Well, no, at the start of the movie, they meet each other and they just move. She said she's moving to America in a week. He said, I might go with you, because he just got really annoyed at his job.
All right. So they're both British, or is one of them putting on an American accent?
They're both British.
Okay.
And so they move. It cuts to like 10 years later and he's an architect and she's like a stay at home mom.
Mm-hmm.
And he's designing this building and it's this whole maritime thing. And there's this whole, like their friends are just like, asses. I Andy Samberg is there and he's chill and you're like, yeah, that's cool. And then he's married to Kate McKinnon, who you struggle to see as Andy Samberg's wife, because she's notoriously lesbian.
Yeah.
So it's always hard to like be like,
yeah,
she doesn't really, I know this is acting because I know her.
Yeah.
Know?
And as she's kind of doing little innuendos, you're thinking she doesn't fancy him.
There's like zero chemistry between them that they're even a pair, never mind like a couple.
Yeah.
So it's like clearly like, okay, we have two names. Like obviously they would have known each other on SNL, but like there's nothing really there to be anything.
And is that a bad thing? Like, is it quite grating? Does it work?
It's kind of just nothing.
Yeah. Okay.
Then there's just a whole selection of situations that you think are going to be like it's down as kind of a comedy. It's not really that funny.
All right.
You know, and it's like, it doesn't ever hit the heights of being a comedy. It doesn't ever hit the heights of being a full drama. It's kind of fallen in that grey area of trying to be things, but then ended up being nothing. And then there's this whole thing about like, people providing for different people and stuff. And it's like, he has this building that collapses and Olivia Colman, like then just before he releases that, he buys her this restaurant.
Mm.
And then this building he makes collapses and he loses his job.
Okay.
And then her restaurant business gets big, so he starts minding the kids.
Okay.
And then it becomes this whole thing, and like she becomes a successful business lady and he becomes like a successful like stay-at-home dad, really. And then there's kind of animosity that like she's like jealous that he got to have that time with the kids and raise them.
All right.
But it's like, lad, you can't have your cake and eat it too, lad, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like...
So a lot of kind of talking points that would resonate with people, perhaps.
Yeah, well, like, it was funny because I saw it with my friend and every other person. So two lads went in and everyone else in there was mothers, I feel.
Okay, they were a night out.
Well, it was, I feel like the next age up was like 40. And it was just like all these women. And anytime the man did something wrong, they were like, ha ha. And I'm like, okay.
I feel I've met my tribe. I should have been in that cinema.
I'm in this incorrect audience because they're like, you can't raise the kids like that. And they're like, mm-hmm. And I'm like, I don't, this isn't made for me. But I was expecting it to be funnier though, because
it's like massive, like two massive stars, Olivia Colman. Like, she has just gone from strength to strength, from like British television series to just Oscar winning movies. Yeah. And then, of course, Benedict the same.
Benedict Cumberbatch is an interesting thing.
He is.
Because, like, he's great in an Imitation Game. Mm-hmm. But, like, and he's good as Doctor Strange.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, what's your favourite movie with Benedict Cumberbatch in it?
Now, I must admit that I constantly confuse Benedict Cumberbatch with Eddie Redmayne. So does that say a lot about them? Yeah, as well. Like, because they're both posh Englishmen.
Like, you
saying
see,
posh Englishmen usually.
Olivia Colman is a very funny, like, she's Hot Fuzz, I think, is her pinnacle. Mm-hmm. I think she is one of the best female comedy performances ever in Hot Fuzz. And Hot Fuzz is one of my all time favorites. But I feel like she's way more, much more of a dramatic actor now. And there's still like this charmingness, there's still like this funness kookiness about her.
Yeah.
But Benedict Cumberbatch is like, he's like a man in a suit and a hat and a briefcase trying to tell a joke. It's like, lad, stop now.
This movie or in general?
Just, I feel in general. Like, he's not a funny guy, like, do you know?
When I think of him, I think of him being quite funny. So let me think about why I think that.
Why do you think that, Arlie?
I can just see him being kind of funny.
He's
just
kind of lanky.
Maybe that's what it's
I just think he's too English to be funny. I think he's too...
posh, like, is what you're trying to say. Yeah, yeah. Yes. Yes.
But I just feel like the relationship... There's moments where you're like, okay, these people like each other. But at the same time, again, they never feel like a couple, you know? There's never a stage where they're like, oh, I get this couple. I get this relationship. It's like... they fancy each other. Yeah, that's fair. But like, this whole thing is about how strong a relationship is and how the strength can become untied, but you never feel like there's a strength there.
Yeah,
so then when it becomes untied, you kind of lose interest.
Yeah, it's just an odd movie to remake as well, because the Kathleen Turner and Michael Douglas movie is kind of seen as a really iconic moment about divorce and people breaking up.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes just leave well alone.
I don't know.
Which is how I feel about remakes in general.
And also, like, so again, we're saying, like, all the violence and all the, like, everything in the trailer happens in the last half an hour.
Okay.
And there's no, like, there's, like, up until then, it's like this gradual deterioration of a marriage.
But is that an interesting, even, storyline to watch, the gradual disintegration of a marriage? He's just not there yet.
I think you can understand that I'm not.
It's not.
It's not me.
It's not for him.
It's not. It wasn't funny enough to even be seen as like, okay, like even Alice and Janney, fantastic for the one scene that she was in.
Okay.
You know, and like, great. And it's like, it's kind of as if they set up stuff as well and there's never any payoff. Because even the ending, it's like, oh, stop.
Okay.
And you're like, okay, there's never nothing massive happens. And there's even, the ending itself is a bit odd.
Okay.
I don't want to spoil anything.
It's black pudding it.
Oh, I'd give it like 5.
Okay. 50% for the roses. That is 5 black puddings out of 10. It is
out
now.
It's just because Olivia Colman is so charming.
Yes. Now, from one quintessential set of actors to another. Last week, Brian told me he'd go to see Downton Abbey. This has not happened because... he was very busy this weekend.
Yeah.
So next week.
Okay, Orla.
I'll go with you. We'll go together.
I'll hold you to that.
Okay. Wednesday night. Shake on it. Touch my hand. Thank you very much.
We did shake it officially.
We did.
Just 5. For the pause in conversation there, that was me reaching over to shake her hand.
5 black puddings out of 10 in the meantime for the roses. Thank you very much.
The Sunday Grill with Orla Rapple on Beat 102-103.